Good morning and welcome on this beautiful day, June 1st. And good morning. We will have our hymn sing, and Lori has graciously volunteered, after I asked, to come up and lead us in our hymn sing. So if you have a favorite hymn you would like to have, it'll be two verses. If you could just shout, Ron? 131, first and last. Request? How about 380 verses 1 and 5? There's within my heart a melody.
I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.
We have time for one more? Yes. 381? 1 and 4.
381.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen. That was beautiful. Once again, welcome this morning to the Yucaipa Methodist Church, the House of Faith, here on this beautiful June 1st. I'm so glad that it's not 90 degrees today, so hopefully we can enjoy that as we all get out to continue our day here. So welcome. There's a red pew pad or a red pad at the end of the pews. If you would please sign in and let us know that you are here today, we'd appreciate that. And it is happy birthday, so we will announce our folks, and then I think we'll sing happy birthday. Dina Barwick, who is in Alaska, Dan Anderson, Mick Gibson, Lynn Stiff, June Fisher, Joan Fox, Steve Mickle, Joyce Schlitt, I think, and Marlene Humphreys. So in every laugh in your year with you, In every laugh in every year with you, our friends, joy always near. Time adds candles, but our spirit stays young. In each shared story, every song sung. Through seasons and years, our bonds only grow in laughter and joy as the birthday bell tolls. Forever young in heart and in mind, in our friendships, life's best gift we find. Amen to that. So, happy birthday. Here we go.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear my friend. Happy birthday to you.
Today, this month, and the year ahead. The June newsletter is available in the Narthex, and so if you would like to receive it online, you can go ahead and do that. Otherwise, you can ask to have it emailed to you, but there is one back in the Narthex if you choose to pick one up. The Good Samaritan Fund, please give money or state or script cards to the Good Samaritan Fund. This money is used to help those less fortunate with food. We are the Cereal Church, and I personally have been at ICSC, and I know that they appreciate all of the food that is submitted to them. So end of the month, that food, those cereal boxes that you provide will go over to ICSC, and they will be able to help those in our community.
What was it?
I was going to give a plug to Family Assistance as well. I will just tell you that we had over 80 people come in to get food on Wednesday. So it is, our need in this community is growing. So anything that you can do to help support those in need, truly appreciate it. So special announcement, I want to draw your attention to the date for the next movie, Bridge to Terabithia. It's going to be June 14th, so not this Saturday, but the second Saturday at 11 o'clock. Leslie and Jess push through their personal struggles and create the secret kingdom of Terabithia, a land of monsters, trolls, orcs, and giants, where they spend their free time ruling as king and queen and fighting evil creatures. Should be a great movie. But remember, it's the 14th. And I love this. Being a member of the Associates of the Redlands Bowl, we are having Joseph and the Technicolor Dreamcoat is going to be our production this summer. So the Merry Methodists are going to go on Saturday, July 26th at 8. Deb can be contacted to arrange for carpools. So it should be a wonderful, wonderful production. And now, if you will stand as you are able and join me, we will have the call to worship. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words.
How I love your law. It is my meditation all day long.
How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Okay, and if you'll please join us in hymn 156, I love to tell the story, 1 through 3.
tell the story of unfinished things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it is true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all the golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it is so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story, it's pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story, will be my theme in glory, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love.
And now I encourage you to pass the peace and welcome those around too.
Yeah, it's cool up there.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that kid's cool, so landed in here.
recognize all those who have come to join us on Zoom and welcome them. Good morning to you, Helen. So good to see you. And welcome, June and Joyce. And Kenny in Georgia. Welcome, Kenny. And David down in Hemet. And Brian and Janine, so good to see you guys. And Carol and Mike, they are on Zoom today. And George, some of you may not know, but George has moved to Arkansas, right next to a beautiful lake. So, and so good to see you, George.
Okay. And now is the time to share our joys and concerns. And I'm going to start out with, I have a good friend who just got back from a wonderful trip to Portugal and Spain, and she has COVID, and she's really struggling with it. She's had it before, so if you could keep Teresa in your prayers, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
And then I'm going to follow up with a joy. I had 15 kids at Parents Night Out, and we had a blast. And next month, we're going to be doing art night, so we're going to be painting upstairs in Fellowship Hall. If any adults would like to come and paint with us, you would be welcome. Just let me know and sign up.
Was that the most number you got so far, or you had more before?
I don't know. Close. Okay. Nice. I was expecting 12, and I got 15, so that was an extra blessing.
Very nice. Looks like numbers growing. Maybe you want to hear this. You will read it on the newsletter, but Marion is donating a lot of plants, and the plants from a house, and they will be brought to the fellowship hall, and you can, choose whatever you like and enjoy the plants. So that's going to happen next Sunday. And thank you, Marian, in advance.
And also, next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, so you are encouraged to wear red. Check your wardrobe.
Good morning, everybody. The limey is back in town.
Yay!
I would like to say thank you to everybody for all the prayers. And I'm going to be coming back every Sunday if my voice doesn't give out anymore. And I would like to say congratulations to my grandson, Ewan. He's just graduated from aeronautic school. Yeah. And then I would like to wish my grandson, who's Dylan, is in Oklahoma with the Marines. He's going to be 21 this month. Remember little Dylan walking down the aisle? And they're all grown up now. Anyway, thank you very much.
So good to see you, Chris.
And I'm Trudy Baird, and I, during the passing the peace, I just met a lovely lady, Leslie, and her daughter, Emily, I believe, and Deb. I'd encourage you to visit with them. They're looking for a night for the kids, so kids' night out.
Next one is going to be June 27th. Come and paint, any of you. It's fun.
I'll add one more, a joy for all of the people that are graduating. I was at a wonderful graduation party yesterday, and here in Yucaipa, our seniors graduate on Wednesday. Lori and I get to go and award some scholarships to them on Tuesday, but if you can keep all the graduates, nice, high school, etc., in your prayers, I'm sure at this time it would be most appreciated for them and their parents as well.
I have a joy. Yesterday, my neighbor had invited me to come over. Her son was graduating from high school, and she was having a party for him, and so I went over. And of course, the only person I knew was my neighbor. I'd never even met her son before because he doesn't socialize very much. He's pretty shy. But Anyway, it was very nice, but my concern is that my sister Allison called wanting to know how much room I had in my freezer, and I said, well, I don't think I hardly have any, and anyway, apparently she's having problems with her refrigerator, freezer, or whatever, and so I'm hoping that she can get someone that can fix it, or maybe she'll have to buy a new one, I don't know, but anyway, concerns for my sister, but a joy for my neighbor. Thank you.
Anyone on Zoom, you can unmute and speak. Just raise your hand.
Okay, if you will join me in the unison prayer. You've called us to shine your light on those. Oops, excuse me, Deb. I'll wait for a second. Sorry. There we go. You've called us to shine your light on those who dwell in darkness and nourish hungry souls with the manna of your word. Here we heed the sacred plea to draw all creations close to you. Renew within us a fervent flame to proclaim the unconditional love of Calvary. May every step we take share your grace that heals the broken
hearted. For your name's sake.
Amen.
Let us continue on praying in silence. Lord Jesus, we have come to celebrate our life in you, and we open our hearts, open our lives at this time unto you, O Lord. We invite your Holy Spirit to come in once more to touch us, to empower us, to restore the joy of living in you. Regardless the life circumstances, we can celebrate because you are with us. You are there to provide, to guide, to protect, to lead into the path that you have prepared for us. So, Lord, open our hearts, open our eyes, open our ears, that we may have a close and intimate fellowship with you and with your Holy Spirit as we worship together. This is a sacred place where we can come and be completely honest to you, pouring out what we have in our hearts and in our lives, that we may give all the burdens into your hand, that we may experience the deliverance from the burdens of life. So, Lord, as we worship you this morning, we wish that you come unto us, into us, through your Holy Spirit, and fill us with the joy of living, that we may overcome all the worries, all the cause of depressions, and that we may overcome troubles that we've been fighting against, and Lord, that we will find the new purpose to continue on, new purpose to glorify you in all we do, that we may find meaning, that our lives may become meaningful. So, Lord, bless us, touch us, empower us this morning. We see a lot of problems in our personal lives and in this world. But, oh Lord, we recognize that you are our sovereign God. You are at work. And even in little tiny detail of our life. So, Lord, as we recognize your presence, your power in our lives, we humbly submit ourselves to you, to your will, to your plan you have for us. So our hearts are open unto you and to your Holy Spirit, that you can come in and move within us, that we may find the strength and courage to continue on. And we will find a lot of reasons to celebrate. So, Lord, acknowledging your will in our lives, we humbly submit to you, asking you to continue to fulfill your will in our lives, in this church, in our communities, and in this world today, as we join our hearts and prayers, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
And if you'll please join us in Pass It On, hymn number 572, verses 1 through 3.
It only takes a spark to get the fire going, and soon all those around can warm up in its glowing. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you spread His love to everyone. You want to pass it on. What a wondrous time is spring, when all the trees are budding. The birds begin to sing, the flowers start their blooming. That's how it is with God's love. Once you've experienced it, you want to sing. It's fresh like spring. You want to pass it on. I wish for you, my friend, this happiness that I have found. You can depend on Him in matters not where you're bound. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. I want my world to know the Lord of love has come to me. I want to pass it on.
The scripture reading today is from Luke 24, verses 44 through 53. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witness of these things, and see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised, to stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. The Ascension of Jesus. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple of blessing God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. We haven't used this old phrase, but let me see if you still remember it. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. If you believe that Jesus is with you in all your trials and temptations, say amen.
Amen.
If you believe that the Holy Spirit is working in your life, even when you do not see, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus is with us this morning, watching over us and blessing us with his Holy Spirit. And we want to be the recipients of that power coming from the Holy Spirit, that we may find the joy of living. I know you are coming from all different circumstances in life, but when we gather together here in this beautiful place of worship, we know that God is here with us. God is working in our life, and we do not have to be afraid. We can continue on living in joy, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. A man won $1 million in the lottery. His wife found out before he did and immediately panicked. Her husband has such a deliberate, delicate heart condition that the last time he sneezed so hard, they nearly called a pastor for the last rite. Noting that he was scheduled for an EKG, she came up with a brilliant idea and called his cardiologist. "Can you break the news to him gently during the appointment?" she said. If the husband fainted or had any kind of reaction, he would be in a safe place with a doctor, nurses, and all the medical equipment right there. The next day, the husband strolled in, cheerful and unaware. During the checkup, the doctor delivered the news of normal heart function. Noticing the relief from the good report, the doctor leaned in and said casually, "By the way, Sam, you've just won $1 million in the lottery." Sam blinked. "You are joking." "Nope, that's serious," the doctor said. Sam paused, then grinned. "Well, since you've kept me alive all these years, I'm giving you half of my luck." The doctor suffered a heart attack and collapsed at the scene. People pursue many things, such as fame, financial wealth, and career successes. But these mundane achievements can harm rather than bring happiness. We are at a point in life where we can see things more clearly. What is the most valuable thing? It is the personal relationship with our Savior. Everything passes away, but our relationship with Jesus endured for eternity. Therefore, the greatest achievement in life is being saved by Jesus. And the most important task is saving souls for Jesus. The mission of saving souls arises from preaching and hearing the good news. This is why the four Gospels conclude with Jesus' commissioning his disciples. Today, we will explore the Great Commission and its content as found in Luke. When we mention the Great Commission, we often think of Jesus' command at the end of Matthew's Gospel. However, the other three Gospels conclude with their own version of the Great Commission. At the end of Mark's Gospel, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they'll drive out demons. They'll speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and they will drink deadly poison, and it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." Mark emphasizes the saving power of the gospel in the commissioning. John's gospel concludes with the reinstatement and commissioning of Peter to feed his sheep. The Great Commission in John takes a more personal approach to nurture spiritually. Now let's delve into Luke's gospel. Half of chapter 24 focuses on the resurrected Jesus appearing to the two disciples walking to Emmaus on Easter and explaining what the scriptures say about him. In the Bible reading this morning, Jesus appeared to the 11 in the evening of Easter and essentially did the same. Let me read once more the word of Jesus. Jesus tell them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." The law of Moses referred to the first five books of the Old Testament called Torah. The prophets, that is a Nevi'im in Hebrew, are the second division of the Old Testament and include the former prophets, such as Book of Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings, as well as the latter prophets, which comprises the books of the major prophets, such as Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets. The Psalm that Jesus referred to is the first book of the third section of the Old Testament called Ketuvim. Ketuvim includes Psalms, Proverbs, Job, Song of Songs, Ruth, Lamentations, and so on. Considering that the Psalms is the first book of Ketuvim and the following books of Ketuvim contain prophecies of the coming Messiah, the Psalms Jesus mentioned point to the entire book of Ketuvim. So if you put them all together, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the psalm Jesus mentioned meant the entire Old Testament. Entire Old Testament. Was Jesus familiar with the Old Testament? He was. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God and knew everything about the Old Testament. Furthermore, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, had been in circulation since 200 BC. Copies of the Septuagint were available during Jesus' day. The word of Jesus, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms," validated the entire book of the Old Testament as his book. So the Bible, we know, the Old Testament is book of Jesus. And of course, New Testament is the book of Jesus as well. Verse 48 of Luke 24 is the very act of commissioning. Jesus said, "You are witnesses of these things." What things? In verses 46 and 47, Jesus said, "This is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." In Luke's Great Commission, Jesus specified the content of the message. Jesus commissions his disciples to preach the Bible as it is written, Jesus' crucifixion, resurrection, repentance, and forgiveness of sins. Let us examine whether we are following Jesus' Great Commission found in Luke. Do we preach the Bible as is written? Do we proclaim Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection? That is to say, Jesus is the only Redeemer for salvation. And do we preach repentance and forgiveness of sins? Many churches have drifted away from biblical foundations and adopted many non-biblical teachings. Some churches embrace pluralism and teach that Jesus is not the only way to salvation, but one of many paths. This was the position of the late Pope Francis, and it appears to be, I heard and read the clips that the new Pope Leo XIV published, and it appears that he too have the same position of the late Pope Francis on, in that regard. Some churches preach forgiveness without repentance. Our Heavenly Father is immensely forgiving with this unconditional love. But Jesus illustrated very clearly in the parable of the prodigal son how and when we receive forgiveness from our Heavenly Father. We must repent and turn away from a wayward life and return to our waiting Father with open arms. However, many churches throw welcoming parties for prodigals who continue to live in sin in the world. In doing so, they misrepresent God and distort His grace. More seriously, they validate sins and close doors for salvation. Their proclamation of forgiveness without repentance may please some, but it does not lead people to a personal relationship with Jesus. They preach half of the gospel message, not the whole gospel. The Great Commission is the foundation of the mission and ministry of Christ's church. When churches faithfully follow the Great Commission and preach the whole gospel, they are built upon a firm foundation and thrive. When they do not adhere to it, they lose their foundation, resulting in spiritual decline. Jesus once said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." Look at the number of Christians and churches today. There are billions of Christians and numerous churches. Why is there a scarcity of workers? This may be related to the fact that not every Christian believes the Bible as it is written. The Great Commission in Luke serves as a litmus test for the evident result of the whole gospel. There are so many information on the web, and I, a lot of times, as you do, use Google. And these days, they now have this Google AI. They compile all the information out there and then give it to you. So a lot of times, I would say most of the time, they are accurate, but not 100% of times. I asked Google AI this question: which country sent the most missionaries to Korea and I received the following response, and I quote, "The United States has historically been a major source of missionaries to Korea, particularly during the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Here's breakdown. Number one, the United States as a major contributor. Historically significant. The United States played a significant role in sending missionaries, especially Protestant missionaries, to Korea during a crucial period for the country's development. Early Protestant missionaries. American missionaries established hospitals, schools, and other institutions, contributing significantly to the modernization of Korea's education and healthcare system. Number two, Korean missionary sending landscape. South Korea as a leading sender today. In the modern era, South Korea has become a major missionary sending nation, second only to the United States in the number of missionaries sent globally." I mean, think about it. You know, South Korea is a very small country, smaller than the state of California. Number three, historical context and impact. Influence on Korean society. Missionary activities had a profound impact on Korean society, contributing to the spread of Christianity, improvement in literacy, and the development of modern institutions. In conclusion, the United States has historically been a major source of missionaries to Korea, playing a key role in shaping the country's development and the growth of Christianity there." End quote. Well, that's accurate information, okay? And then you know what I also found yesterday? You may be surprised to hear this. You know, GNP, domestic, or GDP, domestic growth product. That's the measure of tell apart the size of the economy, the wealth of the economy of the world and the different nations. GDP, and then in terms of the GDP, United States is number one globally, has a GDP of $30 trillion. The second GDP in the world is China, and as you know, it's about $19 trillion. And the third comes Germany, and then fourth comes India, and then I think fifth is Japan. Japan used to be second, right after United States. GDP per capita, that means you divided the whole domestic product by the number of population, right? So that tells you individual average income level of each nation. United States, even though GDP is number one, GDP per capita is not number one, right? It's like a Singapore and, you know, all that. China, even though they are second in terms of GDP, GDP per capita of China, they are far below. It's like a 60s in the world. And of course, India would be far beyond. Guess what? Who has a higher GDP per capita between Japan and Korea? Surprise is South Korea. I'm surprised myself. Per capita, individual average income, South Korea has a little higher than Japan. So where did this wealth come from? I mean, Korea used to be one of the poorest nations not long ago. Where did this wealth come from? And I give credit to those American missionaries. And my name, Philip, was given by an American missionary that I met in college. And I still keep that. That's my legal name now. But there's a one thing that Google AI missed, and of course, they have no way. It has no way of knowing it. Okay? And that's what I'd like to share. The Google overlooks something so much more significant, and that is the very force behind the profound impact of American missionaries on Korean soil. What caused that? I mean, there are so many American missionaries sent, but what is the actual impact? The American missionaries were strong Bible believers here. And they brought that gospel they believe over to Korea and transplanted them as they heard. That's what made the Korea so different today. This biblical truth of Great Commission remains. And we can apply this biblical truth of Great Commission not only to the churches, but to the individuals and to the nations. The churches that preach the biblical message thrives. That's what happened to Korean churches. While those that have lost their biblical foundation fade away. May we be the church, both individually and collectively. We individually are the church. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. May we be the church that is firmly grounded in the Scriptures. Only when we are obedient to the Bible can we be a beacon to shine the light of Christ and bring people out of darkness. Amen. Now I'd like to invite you to join with me in coming and approaching to the table of God's mercy prepared by none other but Jesus himself for us. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet.
through your Son Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
This may be just a piece of bread that we partake, but this reminds us the very act of Jesus Christ in Calvary. So as we take this bread, let us remember the love of Christ on the cross for us and give him thanksgiving. This cup that we all participate reminds us the very blood Jesus shed while he was hanging on that painful cross. He loved us so much, he shed his blood for the forgiveness of our sins. So now, let us, with gratitude and thanksgiving, take the bread and drink from the cup. As we remember your cross, O Lord, we are forever grateful for what you did for us. We are forever indebted to you, O Lord, to your cross. And may we continue our life remembering your great love, giving you thanksgiving in all circumstances, for your love never fails. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now is the time for our tithes and offerings. There is a plate at the back. You can leave that or you can mail it to the church office. And now we have some special music from Lori.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid,
here on the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness stained. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no human plan can ever pluck me from his hand, till he returns or calls me home. Here is the power.
Creatures, he below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gift. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power of lives. Praise the Spirit, Holy Spirit. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Lord Jesus, once more we stand before your cross. Once more we are so grateful for your grace and mercy poured out onto each and every one of us. So we recognize your grace, your blessing, your presence in our lives, and we give you this small token of our thanksgiving. We ask you to receive it, bless it for your ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
And if you would join us in our final hymn, The Church's One Foundation, 545, 1 through 3.
The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ alone. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. elect from every nation, yet one of all the earth. A character of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name she blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though with a scornful wonder we see her soul oppressed, by schism rent asunder, by heresies distressed. Yes, saints their watch are keeping, their cry goes up how long, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Let us pray. Lord, we join our hearts together in praying for our churches, your church that you purchased with your own blood. And we have received this great commission, O Lord, to preserve, to build, to strengthen the churches that you dearly love. Our hearts are here with this church particularly, and we want our church to continue to thrive, continue to grow. So empower us, O Lord, and bless our ministry that we may be a growing congregation, that we may be the beacon of light to our communities. Our prayers also is for ourselves, that we may continue to be rooted in your holy word, that we may not be swayed by the teachings from this world, but hold on to your word and you regardless, that we may be led by your truth until the very end. So, Lord, empower this church, empower us individually, that we may be your disciples in this world today. Send us forth with this commission, the great commission that you have given unto each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, now in peace, never be afraid. God will go with you each hour, every day. Go now in faith, steadfast, strong, and true. Now he will guide you in all you do. Go now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others so all the world can see. God watching from above. Oh, now in peace.